Space Hopper is Helen Fisher's debut novel and is a wonderfully fresh and entertaining story of faith and love and time travel that blends elements of The Time Traveler's Wife and the TV series Life on Mars. It also features the most plausible blind character I've ever come across in fiction. So how could I not invite Helen onto the show?
Space Hopper is a story about a woman in her mid-30s with two young children. She's happily married. She works at the RNIB and she loves her life. She's got good friends, good job, loves her family. But she carries with her this sadness because her mother died. She lost her mother when she was about 8 years old. And she carries that sadness with her and that grief, but kind of keeps it to herself. And she's got very little to remember her mother by. But she does have a photograph of herself sitting under a Christmas tree in a Space Hopper box. And she treasures that photograph because she knows that her mum took it. And an amazing sort of series of events leads her to finding herself transported into the past. And she finds herself as an adult under the Christmas tree back in 1977 with her mother asleep upstairs and her younger self asleep upstairs. And she gets the opportunity to spend some time with the mother that she never got to know properly, but as an adult. And when she travels back, of course, one of the things that is incredibly difficult is telling anybody what's happened to her, because nobody will believe her and they'll all think she's mad. But she does find a confidant in her friend Louis at work, who also works at the RNIB. So it's really the tale of Faye and her choices and about loss and grief and letting go of the past. That's the basic story.
It's full of questions about faith and trust. Uh-huh. What we trust in, can we have faith in what our eyes present to us, and can we have faith in the things that we have been brought up to believe or disbelieve? Faye's husband is training to be a vicar and brings that to the fore as well.
Yeah, I think Faye is more scientific. She thinks of herself as more scientific than her husband, and she has real trouble with the fact that he's going into the clergy because he believes in God and he has a very strong faith and she doesn't. But then, of course, what she wants to be able to tell him but feels she can't would require, she believes in the end, the same amount of faith, because it's really what she believes. And having somebody trust in you, believe what you're saying when it sounds crazy. She asks him at one point why he didn't tell her sooner what it was like to be called by God. And he tells her that he always felt that it was a slightly crazy thing to tell somebody, because it was a personal thing and it's very hard to believe in something that you can't experience with your senses, which is what Faye has difficulty with. But of course, in the end, her story is just as or more unbelievable than his.
And you take that even further with the character of Louis, who is blind. Yeah. And can't rely on his major sense and has, yeah, to fill in the gaps. He really is the most wonderfully plausible blind character I've ever come across in fiction. I think that's because you don't dress him up as anything different. He is just a character who happens to be blind.
Honestly, I feel so proud, Red, that you've said that. I loved Louis when I was writing him, but I didn't try too hard with him. I had known people who were blind and I sort of pulled on aspects of their characters. But I am immensely proud that you feel that he has been authentically written. And, you know, he's a guy, he has a life, he happens to be blind. It doesn't define him. It can be sentimental to try and portray a blind character as if the blindness doesn't impact their lives as much as it does.
Louis really struck a chord with me.
And
I'm so glad you didn't take away his rough and irritable edges, because as you know from your own work at RNIB, that's kind of how we are.
So. Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that without even really meaning to at the time of writing, he is pulled from a few of my old colleagues. He's a mixture of a few. And, you know, I think that had I not worked at RNIB, not had any experience with anybody blind or partially sighted, I might have been tempted to try harder to sort of think, what is a blind person like? And of course, you're all as irritable and annoyed and lovely and horrible and as anybody who's got sight. It's crazy to think otherwise. So he was based on a few characters, so he was very easy to write.
as you say, you used to work at RNIB.
I did. I worked at RNIB. Now, I think it was 1999 to 2004. So it was only 5 years. But, you know, I remember them as the best job I ever had. I loved it. There were a lot of redundancies being made when I left and I ended up going traveling. But I've got so many happy memories from there. It was the most interesting work I'd ever done. And I had some brilliant colleagues. I learned a lot and I miss it, actually. A long time ago now, though.
Were you in product research and development as Faye is in the book?
Yeah, Faye's got the same job as I had. So I was in the research and development department based in London. So the development side was mostly in Peterborough and I was on the research side down in London and I worked as an ergonomist. So yeah, and the experiments, I think we only see one of Faye's experiments where she has Louis wearing rubber gloves and feeling the bust of Mozart or Beethoven and has to describe him. That was an experiment that I had to do. So, you know, I had some interesting work to do there. It was good fun, actually.
And you certainly don't sidestep the potential downsides of time travel. Things could perhaps go wrong.
Something I certainly did know when I started writing the book was that I wanted it to be a traumatic journey, something that could threaten her life. And also the fact that the portal itself is a box, a cardboard box, which of course is a vulnerable thing. So she not only has the dilemma of what if she were to get stuck in the past and not get back to the present time, whilst she's also desperate to get back to her mother and spend as much time as she can with her before she loses her. So I wanted her dilemma to be physical as well as emotional.
And it certainly is. That cardboard box takes a bit of a battering. Well, Helen Fisher, once again, congratulations on writing a fantastically entertaining novel with a wonderful blind character.
Oh, thank you so much, Red. I'm really proud of Louis and I'm really glad you enjoyed the book. Thank you so much.
Space Hopper by Helen Fisher is out now in print, ebook, and the talking book version is available from the RNIB library.